Welcome back to episode 15 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. This week, it's just Callum and I, as Tom is snowed under with work commitments. He'll be back next week with hopefully some good news relating to his injury. In his absence, Callum and I will talk you through our weeks of training, which feature some pretty rapid reps on the track and a meaty 36-kilometer marathon session in preparation for the Boston Marathon. We've got the usual race results, listeners' questions to dive into. So don't worry, you still get your weekly fix of running three ways wisdom. Callum, set the scene for the listeners. What are you up to?
All right, everyone. All right, Ben, how are you doing? I don't know why I said everyone, like a live audience, like I'm on some sort of TV show. But yeah, it's weird not having Tom. Normally you hear his little cackles in the background and you have an easy target to, make some fun out of. We could actually say anything we want because he definitely won't listen back to this episode.
Yeah, if he really is snowed under at work, then he won't listen to this. You're right.
I know. To be fair to Tom, it happens to us all at times. And if you're a regular listener, you know that because of Tom's job doing digital marketing related things for ProDirect, he's here, there and everywhere. Unfortunately, the runners and the shoes don't just arrive at his house. He has to head out and do stuff. But yeah, I'm all good. I'm just kicking back. I received an air fryer today in the post. After bigging up the Beyond Burgers on last episode, I had a few conversations with my mum, who was raving, and she was kind enough to actually get me one as a little just a spontaneous gift to her son. So shout out Sarah for that. Any other mums that listen, your son might be, you might not know he wants an air fryer, but he probably does, so you should get him one.
Yeah, there you go, Jane, if you're listening. Then I wouldn't mind an air fryer. I haven't got one of them.
Yeah, and I know it's only March, but it could be an Easter gift or, a spring is coming gift. I don't know. You can find a reason for your loved ones.
Half Christmas, something like that.
Yeah, but I've been having it before. Obviously, we had to jump on to record. I've only just opened it, but I'm already got a million ideas about different things that we can create and feedback on the pod. So, yeah, that's where I'm recording from. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm in the usual upstairs in my bedroom, nice and quiet. I've just had a stir fry tonight, quickly cooked that before recording. We decided to go for a 6 o'clock kickoff, a bit late as per 6:15. We managed to get the ball rolling, but had some dinner. It's still light outside, which is a little bit strange as well. The clocks went back yesterday, so that's going to be good for running in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it'll be good for you because you live in the middle of nowhere, don't you? So they don't have electricity where you are.
Exactly, just running out in the field. So having light actually does make a huge difference. So yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, well, I think the obviously we're going to go through our training weeks now, but we really want to hammer out some listener questions this podcast because obviously not having Tom takes a bit of time off the training week, so we can pump that into some of the questions because everyone normally complains that we don't spend enough time on them. So with that in mind, shall I kick off with my training week?
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. So last Monday, so that was the 20th, I was actually still in Devon. I was away for a long weekend, so I ran pretty early in the morning. For me, did 7.73 miles at 7:32s. This was like four out and backs, or I guess it's two out and backs, isn't it? Because you're going out and back, and that's, just do that twice. Simply because the weather was so bad that, like, on country roads when you have like loads of puddles and there's cars coming around blind corners and you just think like, you're on edge the whole run, you can't really relax. So I just did it out and back of the road a couple of times. And I finished this off with 5x12-second hills. So just short, sharp hills with pretty long rest, nothing crazy at all.
How did you time the 12 seconds? Do you program it into your watch or do you count out loud or?
No, I the first one, I'll obviously press lap to start, sprint, and then I'll normally look at my watch a little bit earlier than I normally would. And it's normally like 9 or 10 seconds. And then I know where to stop it. I'll just look at where I finished. And pretty much the effort level is within the same every single time that I just run to a destination, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So I'll just be going from point A to point B. But it's 12 seconds because that's what it says on the plan. They'll probably be between 11 and 13. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, got you.
It's just short. It's basically the premise there. I think I had gym Monday. I don't log my SNC on Strava, but I think I did that Monday night. I can't actually remember, but I did it a couple times this week. So Tuesday, which is a more interesting day, had a session on the track in the evening with quite a few of the Cambridge guys, actually. And we've got a few people doing different things at the moment, with some boys are coming back from uni for Easter, some are marathon training, so they're not doing this kind of summer track sessions. A couple of guys are injured, so it's a bit of a different group. But slightly longer warm-up than usual, 2.5 miles. And then it was 8 600s with 200 jog. So we started at about 138 and got down to 135. So I think that's around like starting at 64s and then going down to 63s, or maybe starting at 65s for the lap and then getting down to 63s. So yeah, pretty good. Not, you know, nothing crazy in terms of like, you know, super fast, but a good amount of volume at that pace. It's kind of like 64s is 8 minutes for 3K. So it's probably right around 3K pace, basically. Yeah. And yeah, that was a pretty solid session. When I started, I was going to do 10, but we just went a bit fast. And when I was kind of on 7 and 8, I was like, actually, the effort level's creeping up here. So it's only Tuesday, you know, I don't start of the week. So just called it at 8. So yeah, pretty solid session, actually.
What does BLT stand for? Obviously, bacon, lettuce, tomato, but...
So that is actually what it stands for. So basically, how did this start? I can't remember how this started, but we were all getting so fit in like September, October. And in Cambridge, we have CNC, so like the actual running club, Cambridge and Courage. And then we have the Cambridge Uni Group. And over the last few years, for whatever reason, I only moved to Cambridge in June. There's not been like one cohesive training group. There's been a couple different training groups, different coaches, stuff like that. And, you know, don't get me wrong, everyone's on great terms and trains with each other and stuff. But at the kind of end of the summer, start of the winter, the coaches, Phil and Mark, got together along with some of the other lads and decided, right, we need to arrange something where we plan the sessions in advance and we all train together. So we have like an unreal training group.
Yeah.
And this was done at the pub over like a bit of a meeting where everyone was like, right, this is what we're going to do. Do we agree on this? We'll compromise on this. Like, let's do it. And we decided to make like one big amalgamated WhatsApp group to you know, chat through all the plans and stuff.
Yeah.
Jack Gray, who's got about, he gets a mention literally every episode on this podcast. He should be paying us. He, for some reason, when he created the group chat, was eating a BLT or was like thinking about a BLT. I don't actually know what it was, but he just called it BLT, Big Lad Tuesdays. But we've never referred to it as Big Lad Tuesdays since. We only refer to it as bacon, lettuce, tomatoes. So, yeah, that's if you ever see BLT, that's exclusively Tuesdays.
Big Lad Tuesdays down at
Big
Cambridge.
Lad Tuesdays. Exactly. So, yeah, that was Tuesday. Wednesday was kind of what I call medium long run, which I guess it kind of is, but it's always between 8 and 10 miles. So this week was 9 miles, so 9.29 miles at 6:48. So about an hour of running. Yeah, just kind of standard. I always do the same on Wednesdays, really. It's a bit of a longer volume and just a single day. But interestingly, this Wednesday I was heading into London in the afternoon to meet up with Tommy and Becky that I do some coaching stuff with, because we were filming some bits of content, and then I'm filming a thing for Koros as well. So I'd not planned in my head that I would be actually running that much. I was thinking, oh, I'll just go to Battersea Park, I'll just like do some strides. But how it actually transpired, I ended up doing a lap at the park, so a couple of miles. So I thought, I'm not going to do a couple of miles for free, I'm definitely locking it on the watch. So Wednesday was technically a double, albeit it was a 9 mile and a 2 mile, so it doesn't really count, does it? But I'll take it for the Strava graph.
Yeah, sure. I think you got at least 3K there, at least 2 miles, that counts.
Yeah,
need
yeah
that on Strava.
Yeah, 15 minutes, I'll take that. And it was basically like a fartlek as well. I've averaged 7:07 per mile, but because I was like filming different bits and bobs, like obviously some stuff was a higher pace than others, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah. I had one of those runs in my week, actually.
Yeah, and I was actually in Battersea Park at the same time as Tom, but we didn't see each other. Or I didn't see Tom at least. So I saw some people bopping about doing something for Puma, and Tom had told us in the group chat that day he might be in Battersea doing stuff for Puma, but I never actually saw him. So...
Shame. Yeah,
the elusive man himself.
He was somewhere in the park. Did he see you? No, probably not.
I don't know. He's not here to tell us. So, yeah, this is where the week gets a bit wild, a bit crazy for the listeners. So strap yourself in. So Thursday, I've done my long run on a Thursday, which after doing
after it, Wednesday, you did a midweek, a little long run on Wednesday, and then your long run on Thursday.
This is what I'm saying. So normally what would happen if you're a regular listener is I do my sessions on a Tuesday and a Friday. But as I've just mentioned with the amalgamated Cambridge groups, etc., I'm trying to really maximize training with other people to get the best out of myself. Mm-hmm. So this week that meant that I needed to train on Saturday for the session, because that's when the faster middle distance uni guys were available. So coach didn't want me doing a hard Saturday session and then a hard Sunday long run, because then I wouldn't recover for the next Tuesday, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So we just switched it around. So I did this long run Thursday, which was a progression. So it was basically 12 miles of progression down from literally steady. So I think the first mile is like 6:40 or six, or maybe even 7 minutes or something like that. And then just progressing down gradually until about 5:20, 5:22 was the last mile. So yeah, 6:50 down to 5:22, which, yeah, pretty solid.
Almost identical to my first run of the week, but I'll talk about that when I talk through mine.
Oh, nice. Great minds. So yeah, and then just a mile to cool off, to cool down. So yeah, 13 miler, average 6:13. So yeah, pretty good. A couple of the miles were a bit windy, but once I'd committed to the progression, I kind of committed to the progression, if you see what I mean. I didn't want to kind of hold back as such. So probably worked a bit harder than I should have on a couple of the miles, but yeah, it's still really kind of solid to bank that, to be honest, as a bit more of a longer aerobic effort on Thursday, which meant Friday was a super boring day because I'd done my long run and needed to recover for the session. So I literally just did 5 miles, 5.36 miles at 6:56s. So yeah, as days go, that doesn't really get much more boring than that. Just 37 minutes of jogging, but important to recover. And then on to Saturday, which was kind of the main session for the week, really. Longer warm up again, almost 3 miles. And then the main session, which we had a really big group actually of people from, they're doing some kind of tour. I think they're going on like a trip. Oxford and Cambridge are going to race in America at the start of April against like Harvard and Yale and do some kind of university racing thing. So we actually had some of the athletes from Oxford down at the track as well, like people like Jack Miller, who's been, you know, top 10 at the national before and stuff like that. So some pretty good athletes. We had a great group for this actually. But I spent most of the time running with Jeremy Dempsey. So we did two sets of 800 and then 2 mile, which had 3 minutes between all of those reps. So 800 on, 3 minutes off, 2 mile on, etc. And then after the final rep, we had about 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes, change into spikes, just like walk around for a bit. And then we had a fast 400, 300, 200. So the 800s, the first set was 210 for the 9 for the 2 mile. And then the second set was 207 for the 800 and 950 for the 2 mile. And when I say it was windy, I know we always complain about the wind as runners, but my chorus is saying 20.8 miles per hour wind. So that's pretty brutal. And on the back straight, it literally felt like you were stopping almost. So I reckon that 207 is, you know, a fair few seconds quicker, and same with the other 800. So very good session that actually. And the 400, 300, 200 were 54, 41 and 26, which felt like a very hard 54, 41 and 26. Yeah. Probably not because of the wind, but probably because I've not run that fast since I literally probably did my last race in August last year. I've not needed to run a 41, 300 at any point. So yeah, they were pretty tough, but they'll only get easier from here. So I'm glad that I managed to get them done. Bit of quality work. And yeah, I was really pleased with that session. I was written off for the rest of the day until I had to go to the gym, but yeah, it was a good one.
I've got to ask before you move on, did those last few reps turn into a bit of dick measuring contest?
In what sense? Like, well, racing?
You've got like 5 or 6 really decent guys and you're trying to run 400, 300, 200 pretty much, not flat out, but going at some rate there.
To be fair, so
were there some
point,
people that just took it a bit too seriously, or
so at
was
this
it all
point,
controlled?
At this point, there's only me and Jeremy really. So the 800s, me and Jeremy are more middle distance compared to the guys we're with. The 2 mile, everyone worked really well. Basically, we had probably 4 of us that could do the full 2 mile and we each took a couple of laps each and we're really sharing it around. And then the 4, 3 and 2, like, I don't, the idea is almost to be flat out, but without hurting yourself, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So you kind of can't race in a way, if you see what I mean, because it's just about giving your like max effort.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jeremy dropped me probably by 0.5 second on each of these reps. He was a good, you know, like 2-3 meters ahead of me.
That's exactly what you want though, when you're training with other people, someone to be that pretty much same level, but if not a tiny bit better than yourself, and it really pushes you on, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what you need. And it's like, when you train with people like this, it's like, I've run 3:59, Jeremy's run 4:01 for the mile. So it's, you know, basically the same times.
Mm.
You're talking about like 0.5 seconds per lap. So it's like training with people that are identical pace to you, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really good. We just need to try and keep up doing things like this, because everyone's going to have a shit day or a really good day. And if you, you know, train with each other 100 times, it's probably going to work out 50-50, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
If you have a group of 8 and 10 people that turn up twice a week, every week, then you can bail each other out of situations. So yeah, on that final 2 mile rep, if I wasn't with those guys, I definitely would have thrown the towel in and just, you know, called it a day and done a shorter rep 100%. So it paid off to leave my session until Saturday rather than just braving it and doing it myself, because it meant that I actually got the work done. So yeah, some advice for everyone, to be honest, train with other people, because even if it's just for the motivation, it's worth it.
I was just having a look here on Jeremy's Strava. He came second at the that podium event, the underground go-kart racing thing, and he won £500. So yeah, we've got to shout him out maybe, but it's a good result.
Yeah. No, great runner. And the uni's like just full of stacked people, to be fair. We've got like, you know, a couple of 148 guys. We've got, you know, 1500 guys that have run 341, 342. You know, that's the difficult thing with running. It's like, I know we do a podcast, and that's probably how, like, if we're being real about it, a lot of people will have watched your YouTube videos, and you've built like a career out of sharing your journey and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners from the podcast will have you doing that. And this might be the first time they've ever heard me speak about running or whatever, and won't have known who I was. But I've still, like, relative to runners, last year I was like the 20th fastest in the UK or something over 1500. So like, I'm at the top level of domestic distance runners, but no one will have a Scooby-Doo who I am, if you see what I mean. Whereas if you're the 20th best footballer in England and you go into the World Cup, everyone knows who you are. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it just shows you how many good people are out there running times that most people would think are inconceivable, that one, no one's ever heard of, and two, they'll never get any limelight or whatever for their achievements, because that's just the sport of running.
Yeah, I think you definitely do a good job of finding the balance between running fast but also making some content. Like, there's definitely some runners out there that are running like 340 who are not really helping themselves in terms of getting like exposure, getting contracts, getting deals, just because playing, they're not interested in the social media side of things, which is understandable. Like, it's not for everyone, but if you want to try and make yourself marketable to brands, then definitely helps to put a little bit of effort in yourself. That's the only thing I'd add to that, really.
Yeah, 100%. And then obviously the other side of the coin is like, you know, if you use Jeremy for example, like, the guy's gonna have graduated from Cambridge and go and be a doctor. Like, he might not want to post on Instagram to try and get some free shoes. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's different and at a different stage in their life, kind of thing. So that was a good Saturday actually.
It's a really good session.
Because I'd already done my long run of my sessions, it just meant Sunday I was only left with 6 miles. So I did 6 miles at 7:02s. Alice came with me on the bike. It rained the whole way. It wasn't as glamorous as the sunny Saturday session, but it ended the week nicely. So yeah, I finished on 64.1 miles. So a little step up from last week. And then this week that we're recording, I have my doubles introduced again. So similar structure to the week, but I'll have a couple of, probably two doubles that I'll do this week. So mileage this week should be closer to the 70, and then, you know, we'll another step up again after that. So yeah, very, very promising. 5 weeks until I'm going to race. So I've got plenty of time to sharpen up and get fit, and I'm in a good place. So all is well with Camp Callum right now.
Good stuff. That's what I like to hear. And with the Coros stuff, can you elaborate a little bit more on what the sort of content is you're filming with them? Are you doing some sort of like workout videos or the lead up to a race, or is it just purely on the gear?
Yeah, so basically, if people don't know, I'm part of a company called NRG Coaching. So Tommy Trees and his dad, Mike, created the business a couple of years ago back in COVID to try and offer some more bespoke kind of coaching methods for people that didn't have coaches at clubs. And myself and Becky Briggs, who is the under-23 European marathon record holder, we've come on board to help out with coaching because there's so many people and stuff like that. So NRG have partnered with Coros on a variety of different kind of like content things, basically to show how the watch can aid both coaches and athletes in informing your training. Mm-hmm. So rather than having to go and get lab testing and do that kind of thing, which of course you can, how can you at like a grassroots level use the metrics that Coros can provide you to inform your training? So there's things that they've got called like training load, base fitness score, like different metrics that they have. So we're just creating some content pieces around those different features, how they can benefit you, how I personally use things like the FootPod that I've talked about previously on the podcast in my training. So yeah, they'll come out in some short form reels and stuff like that. And then yeah, if things progress for me personally, then, you know, there could be some future opportunities with it. But it's just good to kind of, you know, do some stuff for a watch that I actually wear every day anyway. So it's beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I end up doing stuff with Coros, because I've tried Garmin's, I've tried Polar's, and the Coros one seems to work really well for me. So I end up, like, it usually ends up being in my content naturally. So when Coros come knocking in terms of are they up for sponsoring a video, for example, then it usually makes sense to include them, because you're actually genuinely using them as, like you said, like the training features, stuff like calculating your threshold pace, things like that are really, really helpful. So yeah, that's interesting. Look forward to seeing that content.
Yeah, should be pretty good. Got Charlie working away at it as we speak.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, follow 1609 Studios if you haven't already on Instagram, because Charlie McCarthy, who is I was going to say long-time friend. That makes it sound like I've known him since I was like 13. I've literally known him. I've literally known him for a couple of years, yeah. But yeah, really good guy and really talented guy who still has a corporate job and stuff. And he's like, you know, an amateur in terms of what he does, but in terms of the stuff he produces is, you know, I'd say pretty professional. And he's formalizing that now into a bit of a page to share some things, take on some new projects. And we're working on a little video series for Saw as well. So yeah, if you haven't already, follow Charlie's page, because he's
1609 Studios.
1609.studios, I think it's
in reference to a mile in meters, in right?
Exactly, yeah.
Clever that.
Yeah, so give him a follow.
Right, ho. Shall I jump into my week of running?
Yes, let's hear it, mate.
Okay, so this was it week the first week back since Kenya? I think it was. So it started with a Monday morning progression run. Trying to add progression runs more into the plan in replacement of some easy days, just to build up a little bit of intensity, keeping the volume about the same. So 20 kilometers would be a normal run for me on a Monday morning, but having a little bit, starting easy and finishing with a little bit of intensity ahead of a session day on Tuesday. So this one was, 20 kilometers, started at around 4:30 per kilometer. And I finished at around 3:30 per kilometer. So for the listeners, that's like easy pace down to almost marathon pace towards the end. It's quite a hilly route, this one. So with my progression runs, I'm taking that into consideration and just trying to run them more to progressive effort rather than progressive splits, because it's not always possible to run, I don't know, a 3:50 kilometer up a massive hill that I've got around here. So yeah, nice start to the week. Good 20 kilometer run. I noticed that after this run, I had a little bit of tightness in my left calf, which was unusual. I wouldn't normally have that. So I stretched it out and didn't really think much of it. I wore carbon racing shoes, the Nike Vaporflies, for this run. And it's probably the first run in a couple of weeks that I'd worn a carbon plated shoe. And the ground obviously was all road. So I don't know, maybe that played a little bit of an issue, but that ended up having a bit of an effect later on the week, which I'll get to. On to Tuesday. Oh no, is this same? Yeah, sorry, Monday. I've done a 5 kilometer run in the evening. Not quite sure why. Obviously felt the need to get out for another run. Oh yeah, I remember. So on Mondays, I typically go to the gym with Meg's cousin, Hannah. We do our 30 minutes of strength and conditioning. This week we added 15 minutes of core, which is good. A little blast of core towards the end. So I decided to do my 5K run before going to the gym, so that Hannah didn't have to wait around for me basically on the treadmill like usual, because that's a bit of an inconvenience to her. And then, in this workout, about two exercises before the end, I was doing these sort of ab crunches where you like straighten your legs and then you bring it up into like a crunch. And during this exercise, I had calf cramp, which I've never had before, like, period. And yeah, it was really painful, really weird, sort of isolated cramp in sort of the top half of my calf to the right hand side. So really specific area. And yeah, it was quite painful. And it was one of those cramps where even after the cramp had sort of subsided, there was still pain in the calf. It was really quite weird. So basically what I've come to the conclusion that on the morning run, when my calf was a little bit tight, I must have just sprained the calf muscle a little bit. So yeah, that came out in a bit of cramping in the evening, which is quite unusual and a bit painful. But again, didn't really think much of it. These things happen. Usually, little niggles. You just carry on training, and you probably forget that they even happen. But anyway, on to my first session of the week.
Have you had any pain or anything in it since, or are you all good?
Yeah, no, I've actually had to take a couple of days off running towards the end of the week. Basically, I've trained through it until Saturday, and then I've decided, look, this calf isn't getting any better. It's like it's just a bit of almost like the range of movement in my calf is being limited by shortening of the muscle.
Considered seeing a physio or anything like that?
Not at this point. At the moment, I'm on day two of rest, and I'm thinking probably have another rest day tomorrow because it's already starting to feel quite a lot better, and should be good to go again. I think it's just a sprain, but if it doesn't clean up sort of thing in the next few days, then definitely go along to a physio. But I decided to just try and basically train through it because it wasn't too bad. It was just a little bit of tightness. But anyway, on to the rest of the week. On Tuesday, first session back with Chelmsford. We're actually training at a different track at the moment. The Chelmsford track's been refurbished. I'm not sure what type of track they're laying down, but that'll be nice for the summer to have a decent new track. So we're training at a local school, actually, that one of my teammates, Seb, is the head of PE or something like that there. So they've kindly let us use their track. And that was the first time I'd been down there. Because I've had marathon training in Kenya over the last few weeks. So they've been training there for the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks. But that was a new experience. So I just did a nice warm-up with Luke, catch-up after probably about a month of not seeing my teammate Luke. And then I did 4x100-meter strides. The strides were actually testing out the calf, seeing how it felt. And as I did the strides, it sort of like loosened up. It's one of those injuries that when you run on it, they numb out and you completely forget about it, and then you stop running at the end, you notice a bit of tightness, and then the next morning you wake up and it's not quite right. Getting a little bit of feedback at the moment. I don't know about you. You okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, all good.
All good.
So the session was 4x2K, 1K. The 2K's at around probably a little bit quicker than marathon pace. 3:19 I averaged for those, and the K reps were at more half marathon pace, so 3:11 was the average for them K's. The plan was to do 5 sets of 2K 1K with 200 meter jog recoveries, but decided to call it after 4 because calf wasn't feeling quite right, as I was saying, and I was on my own, and to be honest with you, I just lost motivation towards the end. It got pretty tough. I think this is also a pretty windy session, and I decided to call it after four quality reps rather than try and do a fifth rep and I would just be struggling and maybe do myself some damage.
I'm just looking at on Strava. So was it 2K and then straight into the 1K and then straight into the 2K, or was there rest in between?
200 jog
between
everything. Yeah,
okay, got you. Sorry, I couldn't work out whether it was like in and out, if you see what I mean, or if it was like, so you did 2K 200 meter recovery, 1K, 200 meter recovery, etc.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Nice.
And yeah, it was a pretty good session. So
was there other people training at the track, but they just had totally different sessions?
Yeah, pretty much. Luke's doing, I think Luke had 10x400 or something stupid like that. Like, well, not stupid, but relative to me, it was.
Yeah, it's not marathon training.
Yeah. No. So yeah, that was on my own. I think I was the last one at the track. Luke was waiting for me in the car. So yeah, called it after 4 reps rather than struggle with a fifth. Probably the right decision, but I never like sort of cutting a bit of a session off. It's unlike me to do that, but probably the right decision in this case. Did a little bit of a warm down and then got a lift home. On to Wednesday, took out a new shoe that I'm testing at the moment, the Cloud Surfer from On. Did a 20 kilometer recovery type effort. 20k still quite a long way for recovery run, but I'm still keen to get some good mileage in at the moment. So it was 5:03 per kilometre. Typically, I would do my recovery runs a little bit faster, but I'm trying just to take the easy days proper easy at the moment, and the hard days with the marathon volume a little bit harder. So yeah, 20k nice new shoe, really soft, squishy midsole, this one. So if you're looking for an easy recovery run shoe, then the Cloud Surfer is a new one and definitely worth giving a try. On to Thursday. Then on Thursday, I did...
Sorry, Ben. If anyone from On, I would also love to try a pair. Anyway, sorry, Ben. What were you saying?
No worries. Yeah, so on to... Oh, no, it wasn't Thursday. This was Wednesday evening. So literally contrary to what I was just saying about taking easy days easy, I've gone to the treadmill in the evening and done a 7-mile progression run. I mean, it's nothing too intense, but decided to go through the gears again in the evening, start at easy pace and work down towards just under marathon pace. I think every mile I turned the treadmill up by about half a mile on the treadmill. So it's a nice way to do a run on the treadmill, just keeps you occupied. Total of 11.27 kilometers at 4:12 average per kilometer. So only easy to steady effort for that run. And then on to the Thursday.
This is a do not try this at home warning. So Ben's just told you that he's cut his session short because he's got a bad calf on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, you've done 20 miles.
Yeah.
Including some of our progression. All right, yeah. we'll just leave that there.
Yeah, nice little 20 mile for marathon training. You know, you got to get the miles in, no matter how your calf's feeling. If you can run, you can run. You know, you get the training done.
All right. Let Tom, who also thought he could run, and then he jogged around in the garden, and now he can't walk. So
yeah, we are getting some feedback, I think, from either your mic or my mic. I apologise to the listeners if they can hear that. Hopefully they can't. On to what day of the week was this? It was Thursday. So I was actually down in London. The day after Callum didn't see Tom in Battersea Park, I went to Victoria Park and I did see Tom because I was meeting him for a little bit of a photo shoot, video shoot for the same shoe that I ran in the day before, the Cloud Surfer. We did a little bit of a photography session and filmed first impressions. So yeah, much like Callum's run with Kouros, I did the same, pretty much same distance, 3.5 kilometers running, 6:06 average per kilometer. But again, this was a bit of a fartlek, included some sprints and some maybe 50 meter strides on Victoria Park cinder track. And that was it for the day. I decided when I got home in the evening that I would give the calf some well-earned recovery after the 20 miler the day before, and woke up pretty much without any issue in the calf at all. So I went out and did my planned session after a solid warm-up. I think it was about 5 kilometers of warm-up. And the session here, the second one of the week, was 7 by 3 kilometers at marathon pace. Pretty good session. I would definitely recommend giving this one a go if you're currently in marathon mode. 3K is a lovely distance to run at marathon pace. It's sort of comfortable, but it gets a little bit difficult towards the end. And a total of 21 kilometers at marathon pace across the session is, yeah, good confidence boost. But again, calf towards the end starts to get a bit tight. No pain at all while I'm running, but then when I stop running, it cramps up a little bit and is a little bit painful, which is just a weird one because I could, in theory, just keep running and it might clear up. But anyway, I decided to take a couple of days rest. But before I did that, I did a bit of a long run on Saturday. I ran from my house down to my local park run, did the park run, and then ran home. So a total of 27 kilometers for the Saturday, average pace 4:21. And I was actually joined by a guy called Peter, who either follows me on Instagram or YouTube, I can't remember. But we've been talking on Instagram for a little while, and he happened to be in the UK at the moment. I think he was visiting his parents or his dad, who lives on Canby Island, which is fairly close to where I live. So he joined me for this run, ran down to park run. He actually ended up winning the park run. I took it easy with my little sister. And that was my week. Decided to take Sunday off, which was yesterday when we were recording. So total of pretty much 2 rest days with that media day there with Tom. And I still managed to run 140 kilometers for the week. So I was pretty chuffed.
This is such a funny week. This is because the training you've done is really good, but it's just odd. So like you've got, this is world class. So you've got March the 22nd, Wednesday. So Wednesday you've done 19 and a half miles of running.
Yeah.
Then you've done 2 miles of running the next day.
Yeah.
Then you've done 20 miles of running.
Mm.
Then you've done 17 miles and then you've had a day off.
Exactly. So perfect marathon training.
Day on, day off, basically. But yeah. still got some good work. I'd just be hesitant now to, like, you know your body, balancing the volume with the just getting in volume for volume's sake. If it means that in a couple of weeks you can't, you know, run the marathon at a quality pace, it's not going to be worth it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%.
I know Boston's not exactly a breakneck speed course, but still, like, you know, you're going to need those calves to get up and down the hills. Do you know what I mean? So I'd just be careful with it.
But bit of damage limitation. It's no point banking some quality sessions if you can't race on race days there. So, no, some good advice.
Yeah, and just prioritizing what's important, you know? So right now, marathon pace is probably way more important than just doing doubles just to bump up the mileage, if you know what I mean. So, hopefully it feels a little bit better once you start running this week. So we're recording on Monday, so you've had today off and you're probably going to start again tomorrow.
Yeah, so I took Sunday off. I've taken Monday off. I've got a gym session this evening, but no running. So that's 2 days without running. And then tomorrow I'm actually doing a planned session. So I might have to do a warm up and see how I feel. If there's absolutely no pain, I'll crack on with the session. But if not, then I probably need to take another day off, which won't be the end of the world, obviously. But I've got a video planned in terms of content creation. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, but obviously don't want to go and injure myself and mean that I can't run Boston, because that is the main goal.
Yeah, but as we say, it's like, as we often remind people on the podcast, your job is not to run fast times. It helps your channel, but your job is to make interesting content and stuff. So in the same way that you didn't want to pull the plug and you went out for a run with the new videographer guy that's helping you out, and I know you've got plans tomorrow with, you know, filming with somebody that you really want to, you know, it could really help you from a business point of view. It's balancing act, isn't it? Between, if you were running professionally, I'm sure your coach would say, hey Ben, like, don't do that big session tomorrow. But
yeah,
I'm sure, you know, I'm not saying he does, but if I was your YouTube manager, I'd be saying, oh Ben, that's a great video, you should go film it, you know.
Yeah, you've actually nailed it on the head there. I thought you would be a bit more like, oh, you're an absolute idiot for doing these big sessions, but at the end of the day
you are an idiot for doing it. Like, I say that to you from like understanding your point of your situation. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when I speak to you from a running point of view, wanting you to like really get the most and just be an athlete and be like, Ben, look how much potential you've got, you could do this. Of course I'm going to say it. But if I'm like, oh Ben, wouldn't it be really good if Ben gets 100K subscribers? Because that'd be an amazing life goal and you'll make loads of money and this will help the podcast and therefore help me. And I'm like, yeah, Ben, you get out there, mate, get these videos done. Do you know what I mean? Sign up for some more races.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm in the middle about it, but
yeah, it's coming from different angles, I suppose.
Just be careful.
Will do. But yeah, that's my week. 140 kilometers of running. Not bad. A little bit of a calf injury. Hopefully that clears up, but we move.
There were some good race results actually from this weekend, mainly on longer distances though, which, you know, as we're getting to summer and talking about shorter distances, is always interesting. So there was the Wilmslow Running Festival, which I think they have a 10K and a half. I'm not 100% sure, but the half marathon is what I saw the results from. So Johnny Meller took the win in 62.05, which is a new PB and a very fast time actually. He won by almost a minute, he won by, I think. So that was good to see him back. And Laura McNeil took the win in the women's race in 72 minutes. So again, pretty good. I've got no idea what the conditions and stuff were like, but I can only imagine it must have been a bit windy, because the wind I had anyway on Saturday was bad. So that was Wilmslow. And then there was Cardiff Bay 10K, which was pretty stacked actually, in terms of people that I saw racing, including, you know, a lot of good domestic athletes actually. Omar Ahmed took the win in 29.02, and Carolina Wilkström, who's from Sweden, I believe, took the win in 32.53. So, it looked like a good event actually. Cardiff Bay 10K. Again, conditions did not look conducive to running fast at all. In America, there was the Trials of Miles Project 13.1, which I just wanted to highlight because Matt Leach, who also runs for SOAR, running, he's on the race team. He came fourth in, I've put here 63XX because I can't actually remember what it was, but I think it was around 63.30. That was like a similar to a podium 5K style event, where it was kind of an event by Trials of Miles have been put on to try and get guys to run the Olympic marathon qualifying time. So if you run a certain half marathon standard, then you get an Olympic qualifying time for the marathon trials.
Okay, interesting.
Which in America is very simple. If you come in the top three, you make the team type thing. Yeah. It's an all-out race. So that's pretty important for people to get the time. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I think that the first three or the first two definitely got it. And obviously Matt's British, so it didn't matter to him anyway. So that was a pretty cool event. And then pretty much on the other end of the spectrum, there was the World Masters Indoor Championships, which, to be honest, there was probably loads of British people racing, and apologies that I don't know who they were or what they were doing. But Ian from the BLT.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He
raced in the 3,000 meters for the V40 category. So that's between 40 and 45 years old, or 40 and 44, whatever it is. And he came second from the B final. So because he didn't have a qualifying time going in, he had to run in the B race. So he basically just time trialed it himself and ran 8:44. And then the A final knew what they needed to beat, and only one guy could do it. So yeah, world silver for Ian.
Pretty
in the
impressive.
V40 category. So yeah, great running from him. And yeah,
for context, my PB is 8:47, I think, for 3K. So 40-year-old Ian Williamson is from the BLT is quicker than me over 3K. Impressive stuff.
Yeah, and he's run 14. I think he ran 14:49 for 5K this year. So yeah, he's a speedy guy, Ian. But in his youth, he ran for Scotland over 1500 and stuff like that. So he's not just stumbled into running. He's a pretty seasoned guy. So
yeah.
I've got no idea if Ian would listen, but if he would, well done, Ian. There's your mention.
Yeah, good job.
Also, if anyone's a movie producer out there, Ian's actually an actor. So he's in a thing on Amazon Prime called, I might get the name wrong, I think it's called Riches or something like that. He's a pretty decent actor. So if anyone's out there looking for a
844 3000 actor.
Yeah. If you're making a running movie and you need someone to play like a vet, then obviously, well, he can play anything, he's an actor, then let him know. We'll pass on the message and we'll take a little finder's fee from that.
Yeah, take a 10% cut.
And yeah, Ben, you've got some results from a marathon, haven't you? The marathon man?
Yeah, just want to talk about the Hanover Marathon in Berlin, in Germany, mainly because the lady who's staying next to me in Kenya called Nina, who runs competitively for Finland, she was racing, so I was keen to watch that just to see how she got on, having trained next to her for the last couple of weeks. And she ended up coming fifth in the women's race with a 2:35, a couple of minutes off her PB, but I think that's the highest she's ever come up in a international marathon. So yeah, really good to see her on the not quite the podium, but in the top five. I think she'll still get some decent prize money there. But yeah, to mention the winners of the race, Amanal Petros, the German record holder, ran 2:07:02 for a course record, again about 30 seconds off his PB and his German record, but he ran the Olympic qualifying time, which is his main aim, and he also was training out in a 10 and saw him a couple of times while I was out there. And on the women's side, a Czech hockey athlete won the women's race in 2:25, a really impressive run from her. Not heard of her before. Her name is Mateo Costro. And she looked really strong towards the end. So I think she probably could even go a little bit quicker. But her main aim, again, was to run the Olympic qualifying time. And yeah, she did that in 2:25. And that was a good race to watch. I watched the majority of the race on a German TV station. So could do with some German lessons because I didn't really know what was going on, but I listened out for the names. But yeah, that's pretty much it for race results this weekend, unless you can think of anything else.
No. That's all that I had. I'm sure there's some races that we've not mentioned, but in honesty, we tend to just pick out races where we either know somebody that's been racing or know of them, or it's a pretty high profile race. So yeah. If you weren't mentioned, apologies. And if you do race and you notably well, like, you know, we're talking like you've come on the podium or something, because we can't just mention everyone's PBs that listen, then drop us a message and we'll definitely give you a mention, because, you know, we want to do that from an engagement point of view. So yeah, just ping us a line if you ever win anything and we'll give you a mention. Right, few listeners' questions. I've got a juicy one to open up with, Ben, if I'm all right to lead.
Yeah, go for it.
So are we Dougal, are we saying? Dougal, I think.
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. Dougal or Doug.
Dougal or Ben's typed it wrong and your name's Douglas. I don't know. But Dougal says, what do you make of the Zane Robertson situation and the impact it's had on his brother Jake? And he says, check Jake's Instagram. For anyone who's not well-versed in the hot topics of the running world, Zane Robertson is the 10K half marathon and marathon record holder, I think.
At least two of them.
Yeah, from New Zealand. There's some loads of documentaries and videos you can watch on YouTube of him and his brother, Jake. Their backstory is basically when they were 15 or 16, they left New Zealand, went to Kenya, tried to become pro runners, got really fast, stayed there. You know, pretty inspirational on the face of it. But recently, Zane tested positive for having synthetic EPO, so probably the most common sport-enhancing drug, or especially in Kenya, in his system, which was actually from a race in the UK where he got tested at the Manchester 10K last year. So obviously that's kicked up a big fuss about him cheating. He's been given an 8-year ban, 4 years for cheating, 4 years for trying to cover it up. But obviously, and hence Dougal's question, the implications are, well, surely if he's cheating, is his twin brother cheating? They kind of seem to come as a bit of a package deal of sorts. So without going into the rights and wrongs and the bans and all that kind of thing, because that's an episode in itself, this specific question is about the impact on his brother. Ben, did you see anything that his brother put on Instagram or anything like that? He did two.
Yeah, I did. I was a bit surprised by it, to be honest with you. He basically put on his Instagram post that he had nothing to do with it and he's disappointed in Zane, and almost like he was trying to completely disassociate himself with his brother, which was a bit, I don't know, it was hard to read, to be honest with you, because I know Zane has done wrong. He's taken drugs. He's cheated in the sport, which is probably the worst thing you can do. But for his brother to come out and basically chuck him under the bus even further was a little bit unnecessary, I think. It's probably best just to keep things quiet if I were Jake. But I understand his frustration, obviously, if he's a clean athlete himself and his brother has taken drugs and now through association. I mean, they look identical, so it's definitely going to have a big impact on Jake. And I wonder if it will impact his contract, because I know he signed for ASICS and obviously he's a clean athlete, but brands are not going to...
Isn't it the other way around? I think it's the other way around, right? So Jake's the unsponsored one, and Zane was with ASICS, and obviously he'll probably be dropped because he's got an 8-year ban now. I'm pretty sure Jake is the more outspoken one in his bio, I think it says unsponsored, because I always get them mixed up as well. I'm the same as you.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
So that's what made me think, because there's also a post before this came out. There was a post like a few days before that Jake had done about someone talking about how he gives brands free advertising by like always wearing the kit that he's got and saying that he should, you know, like buy some different kit. And Jake says, he replies to him like, oh, I've got like a young son to bring up. Why would I buy a shirt for $40 when I could, that's like a week's worth of food in Kenya or whatever. So clearly like for them both, like finances have been, you know, a big part to play in their running. And Jake, the guy that's cheated, he does say on a podcast like, yeah, that's basically why I cheated, because you know you got to win prize money, you got to do things like, yeah, I've got no other talents or career apart from running, like kind of gives it that sort of side. And when I read Jake's post, obviously, you know, I feel bad for anyone who's in that situation, because you know it's not your actions, it's your brother. But I actually got the vibe that his brother may have said to him, look, like my career's over, I've got an 8-year ban until I'm 40 whatever years old, like if you do whatever you need to do to like save yourself, if you see what I mean.
You need
to put something out there that says like, my brother's this and he's that and I hate him and he's an idiot. Then it, you know, it can't really get much worse for Zane right now. He's thrown his running career away for whatever reason.
So if he
can kind of say to his brother, look mate, like you do what you need to do, because like I've already fucked it for myself basically, then so be it kind of thing. But yeah, it's difficult. And I do feel sorry for all the backlash he's going to get on social media, because, like, you know, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? If, like, you know, it's like if you came out with something outrageous and got cancelled for it.
Yeah.
Like, if people then started saying to me, like, oh, how were you ever on a podcast with this guy, and started, like, blaming me for things you'd done? Like, that would be awful. Do you know what I mean? So I do feel sorry for him, because, like, he's going to get a lot of people on social media abusing him.
And I just had a little look on Jake's Instagram, actually, and those two posts that he put up about basically saying his brother is a cheat and he has nothing to do with it are no longer there.
Really?
Yeah, they're gone.
Oh, wild.
Yeah, so I wonder if he's had second thoughts there about throwing his brother under the bus, but probably the damage is already done if we're talking about it.
Very
yeah, interesting.
Wait, no, wait, are you looking the right account?
Jake Robinson.
Jake Robertson.
Yeah.
Look up, are you on the one where it's like Jake HTBZ underscore Robinson?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see two. Wait, is it the one that starts, I feel the need to vent here?
Oh, maybe I'm on a different account. The one I'm following has got 92.1k followers.
Oh, nah, maybe that one's blocked or something. I'm on one that is called, so Jake HTBZ underscore Robinson, and that's got the two posts on of him with his kid, and it's like two massive posts. Like he's done too much text for Instagram, so he had to make two posts
four days ago. Interesting. Oh, so he must have multiple accounts there.
Yeah, maybe one got blocked or something. I don't know. But anyway, that was a long listener's question there. So if anyone's got any opinions, we'll do like a one day this week on our story on Instagram, I'll do like a one of those question boxes where you can like type your opinion or something like that, or we'll do a poll because I think it is an interesting topic and often people dodge these kind of subjects or just give their opinion and pretend that, you know, they're right about it. But we don't really know, do you know what I mean? So we're interested in what you have to say.
There's a bit of a follow-on question for that as well. It says to similar guilt by association exists in other areas, for example, Mo/Rupp with Salazar and lots of suspicion about the Bowman Track Club after Shelby. Is there anything we can do to stop this? We surely want to encourage athletes to come together, not to banish them by association and therefore discourage teams. I think it was from the same guy who sent the Zane Robertson question.
Yeah, that's really interesting because we have to have an innocent till proven guilty approach, right? But at what point do you draw a line and therefore have to take more precaution? Like I realize we're on a podcast and this is going to be like written into time, whatever I say here. So I'm like being careful with like any, I don't want to give any stupid comparisons or anything like that, but it's kind of like, you know, there's a reason that if a crime happens in the real world, right, like, you know, someone's drug dealing or there's a murder or whatever, the people that the police investigate first are the known associates of that person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there is just, again, I've got no evidence to base this, but I would imagine there's a statistical likelihood that those people are more involved or they know something compared to just, you know, a random stranger on the street, which is why it's so unfortunate with the kind of the doping epidemic, if you will, that's happening in Kenya now, where basically so many Kenyan athletes have tested positive that you don't want to presume all Kenyan athletes are cheating because, one, that would be an incorrect assumption, I'm sure, and two, it just doesn't sit right. Like, it feels like you're having an unnecessary level of bias or almost like a discrimination.
Yeah.
But then if you're a testing person and you're thinking, how can I catch as many cheats as possible, then it does make sense to follow where people are cheating, which is people that are based in Kenya / are Kenyan. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So it's similar with, like, you know, someone at Bowman got busted. If I was working for WADA, the first people I'm testing or rechecking are the people she's been around, you know, and who her coach was. It's not to say publicly that they've done it and they shouldn't have come out about Peter Bowl and said that he'd done it before they checked his B sample. Like, stuff like that can ruin people's careers, which I don't agree with. But, you know, if people are cheating all in one area, you've got to kind of follow your nose with it a little bit. But yeah, who knows? It's such a complex issue.
And I think if somebody does cheat within a team, like, unfortunately, that is going to tarnish the team's reputation. That's just natural, as in with any sport. Like, if for example, in the Premier League, if a team is known to be cheating because they're, I don't know, spending too much money, then everybody within that team is going to be tarnished by that bad news, that bad omen. So unfortunately, I don't think there's anything we can do to really to stop it. But there's probably a reason why it exists as well. And when you see these top Kenyan runners, like, running, I don't know, PBs by 2 or 3 minutes, then there are going to be additional questions as a result of the current situation that's happening in Kenya. That's just natural. But as long as the testing procedure is fair for everyone, then I think that's the only way you can really move forward. And yeah, like you said, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. And we do have a decent drugs testing system in athletics, and hopefully it can only be strengthened in the years to come to stop stuff like this happening. But it definitely is an issue that needs talking about in the sport because it keeps cropping up I'm sure it will come up again in the next few weeks. Another athlete will be popped. So yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, and like obviously there's so many root causes to it, right? Like, you know, cheating is obviously morally wrong, but people have their reasons of why they think it's, why they can justify doing it. And yeah, it's a complex subject, but for the sake of the pod, I reckon we move on to a bit more of a useful question for people. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
I think this one would be good for you to answer, Ben, actually. This is from Liam, who is running Paris Marathon this weekend. Ben, I'm not sure if you're able to say anything yet about that, but he's running Paris this weekend. It's his first ever large event where there's more than a few hundred people. Do you have any tips on dealing with big crowds, as he'll be placed in at the back with the 3:30 to 3:45 starters? He's aiming for a 3:40 marathon if he can. So any advice for him, Ben?
Yeah, so I can reveal that I will be out in Paris this weekend. I might see you, Liam, but I won't be running the marathon. Don't worry. I'm just going out for a bit of an event with a company called Satisfy, a French brand, who are doing a collaboration with Pure Sport, the London-based CBD brand. So I'm going out for the weekend. But back to your question, in terms of dealing with big crowds, this is definitely something that you have to get used to with these bigger races. And something I probably experienced for the first time in terms of the size of the crowd when I ran Valencia. And I was surrounded by runners that were all extremely fast and got a bit carried away with the amount of people. So my advice to you, Liam, would be just to try and stick to your own plan. Try and ignore as much as you can of what's going on around you, especially in the opening sort of 5-10 kilometers of the marathon. Just try and really dial in on your own pace. It says here you're aiming for 3:40, so you know the pace you need to be running at. Even if you're feeling great and you're getting pulled along with a good group, then don't start trying to run 3:30 because it will come back to bite you like it did for me in Valencia. My advice would be just try to focus in on what you can control, your pace, whether that's writing it down on your hand that you need to go through 5K in a certain time, a 10K in a certain time, just hold you accountable. Then, that would be my advice with a large scale event. It's just try not to get carried away. And if you're somebody who gets nervous, then be prepared for a bit of like pushing and shoving in the first 5-10 kilometers. And then hopefully as the race goes on, you'll find your own space and you'll feel a little bit more comfortable. So yeah, try not to panic and go off too quick like I definitely have done in the past.
Yeah, the other thing I'd say is like enjoy it, because you're running a 3:40 marathon. If you are running like, you know, if you're trying to run 2:10 in Olympic standard, then it's totally different, right? But you're clearly doing this as a fun event. You're going to Paris. You're probably combining like the race with a bit of sightseeing or a holiday, or you might be going with friends or family or whatever. So like embrace the fact that there is so many other people doing it there. That's what I would definitely do. And then the other piece of advice I'd say is don't focus on how many people in front of you and therefore will run faster than you, but how many people are behind you. Because even though you've said, oh, I'll be at the back with the 3:30 to 45, one, there'll be a lot of people who start ahead of you that you end up passing if you pace it well. And two, there'll be so many people doing that that just want to walk it, just want to complete a marathon. Like everyone's there for a different reason. So look, you're going to Paris to run a marathon as a hobby, like make sure you enjoy it. Don't worry about the crowds. Don't try and get too pissed off at like, if you can't pass an inflatable dinosaur at 5K, you know what I mean? You've got 42K to make it up. So it'll be absolutely fine.
Some good advice.
Good luck, Liam. And it'd be good if you could write back in after the marathon to let us know how you did, especially if you get your time as well. And if you could include in your message like a little bit about how you did deal with the crowds, or if it was worse or better than you imagined, then I think that could also be useful. I don't know. Yeah, I think that could be good. So let us know how it goes, mate. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. And look out for my Instagram story before the marathon. I'll put where I'm going to be standing in terms of the course so I can try and spot you while you're out there. Let me know what you're going to be wearing. I'll give Liam a good shout in that 3:40 pace group.
Love that. Should we go for another one?
Yeah, sure. Should we start with Jai?
Yeah, go for
it. He wants to know, this is probably a good question for you, Callum, because this is probably something you can relate to a little bit more. He says he's racing at the weekend, and he's got two races that he's currently signed up for. One's an 800 meter and the other is a 3K. And for a bit of context, they are an hour apart. The 3K is first And normally he prefers doing 800 meters in brackets. He's put here two laps and he's done, lol. And the only reason he's considered doing both is because he goes on holiday the day after, so won't do much training in the 10 days afterwards. But what's your advice on doing the two races? Should he do them both, or should he just focus in on his main event 800 or not?
Yeah, interesting question. What I want to add first is Jai's actually put at the end of his message, because people might be thinking, what, you're going on holiday, you can't train. He said, I've got plans, but I'm at an all-inclusive, which is so relatable. Good on you. Good on you, Jai. You make the most of your all-inclusive. You've paid for it. You got to go for it. I'm not sure whether you're in the US or the UK, because if you're in the UK, it seems pretty early to be starting doing races. I didn't actually know that there was kind of races heating up, but I guess it is going to be the first weekend of April. So, I mean, again, you'd like to know so much more about how you've been building up to it, what you're doing, all that kind of thing. What I would recommend is I would choose one of them to be your priority, and I would make that one the one that is first, because ultimately, which it says is the 3K, because ultimately you're going to be more tired for the second race regardless. So yeah, the way I would do it is, if it's a team event and you have to sign up first and let people know, then obviously you want to make a decision. But I would tentatively say, okay, I'm going to do both, but the 3K is where I'm really going to go for it. I would give you all in the 3K, not even think about the fact you've got another race. And then, you know, have a little cool down 10 minutes afterwards. And then if you feel up to it and you think, actually, that was really fun, I'll jump in this 800 and see what I can do, then, you know, I think whether you do the 800 or not is not going to define much about your running. Like you said, it is a two laps, you know? So yeah, I would really smash it in the first race and then see how you feel for the second race. If it's a team event and you need to get points and stuff like that, then, you know, help your team out. If it's just you, then see how your legs feel and you know, if you can recover. Yeah. And then, yeah, like you said, you're going on holiday afterwards, so you've got plenty of time to recover. So enjoy your running while you can.
Yeah, if I was him, I'd probably end up doing both of them as well. And like you said, definitely prioritize the 3K race first. Like, just go for it in that race and then see what you got left in the 800. But if you do really want to focus in on the 800 meters and try and run a PB, for example, then running a hard 3K before that is definitely not good advice. And you probably won't have a great 800 meter race as a result. So, yeah, I reckon you know the best answer to that question. Pick one and then go for it, and take the other one a little bit easier.
Yeah, and this is the advice I would give to anyone that's going to be in this situation, because, you know, a lot of listeners will do their team events and like their Southern Leagues or their Northern League Athletics or whatever it is,
yeah,
where you want to maximize points for the team and stuff, and that's fine. But from if you're looking at it somewhat from like a selfish point of view and your own progression as a runner, like, a bit of advice I would give is you can't do all events. Like, you know, often professional athletes fool us with the breadth that they've got. You see Josh Kerr do a half marathon and then do a 1500, and he does exceptionally well in both, and you think that like anyone can do that, if you know what I mean. But the specificity of your training has to really be there. So if you're training for an 800 and a 3K, your training in the weeks just before it is going to look really different. You know, you're not going to need to run a 50 second or a 52 second 400 in your 3K, whereas in your 800 you're going to have to run one of them at the start, obviously depending on what time you're going for. So what I would say is try and map out an idea of what your races are going to be, especially if you're doing like a national league and you're thinking, okay, here I need a steeplechase, here I need a 1500, and try and really tailor your training, or ask your coach or, you know, the volunteers at your club to really try and tailor your training for one of the races. Because often I think athletes at a club level are kind of, you know, shafted at these events a bit, where you go along to help your club and then you realize that actually you could get 10 points if someone fills in and does the steeple. And it's a great laugh at the time, and you have a great sense of camaraderie, and that is what athletics is about. But is it really going to help your performance? Not necessarily. So just try and get a balance between what's fun and what's enjoyable, but also making sure that you get enough out of your events, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Good advice. Should we take another question?
Yeah, I reckon we finish with one last one, which is, again, kind of marathon related. It's from Cameron. Cameron wrote in on Instagram, actually, which anyone can do. And he has a question about adjusting his goals halfway through a block. So his marathon PB is 4:07, which he did in April last year. And originally for this marathon block, he's been aiming for a 3:45 marathon. Oh, no, sorry, I've read that incorrectly. He was aiming for 3:45, but he ran 4:07. He's nearly halfway through this marathon block and he's managed to do a 1:31 half marathon with 7 weeks to go. So should he change his goal from 3:45 and aim more towards 3:30. What are our thoughts on how he should deal with adjusting his goal throughout this block? Thoughts, Ben?
I think having run a 1:31 half marathon, he's probably in better shape than he thinks. And I reckon adjusting his goal might be a good idea. But at the same time, you don't want to get greedy. His PB is currently 4:07. So to run a 3:45 marathon is still almost a 20-minute, it's a 22-minute improvement. So my advice to Cam would be, compared to your half marathon result that you've just run, I would say that maybe you're right to think that your goal does need adjusting a little bit. But at the same time, if you do go for 3:30, you might end up completely blowing up and then not being able to run 3:45. So, yeah, I think if I were you, I would consider maybe making it a little bit faster, maybe aim for 3:40. And then if you're feeling incredible towards the end of the race, you can always pick up pace a little bit and probably end up closer to the 3:30 that you maybe think you can run. But you don't risk sort of blowing it all, if you know what I mean, by going off too quickly and then not being able to run a 3:45 marathon or worst case, even get a PB. So, yeah, I would advise maybe adjust it a little bit. Speak to your coach. I don't know if you've done maybe your training has been a little bit more half marathon focused than you may have thought. So maybe the goal for the marathon needs to stay the same. But yeah, I think adjusting it a little bit isn't a bad thing, but don't go absolutely crazy and risk blowing it all on race day, I think.
Yeah, just to meddle with your mind, Cameron, I'm going to give you the opposite side of the coin, which is just to look at the training you've done and look at the training you've got to go. So if this was 3 weeks before and you think, oh, I'm really fit, I'm going to change it, I would 100% agree with Ben. But you have got 7 weeks. So, you know, if you've got yourself into really good half marathon shape, that's one thing. Getting into really good marathon shape is another. You've got another half of the race to run, which, like Ben's saying, you could absolutely blow it in that second half if you go too crazy, definitely. So in this 7 weeks, especially in the next few weeks before you start leading into a bit of a taper, play with those paces. You know, you'll have some long marathon pace runs left, 10, 15, 16 miles at marathon pace. By all means, look at what the pace is for a 3:30, a 3:25, whatever it is, and, you know, test that out. And if you think, actually, wow, yeah, that felt brutal compared to my 3:45 pace, then maybe your legs and your body isn't as conditioned as you would like it to be. And like Ben said, you can maybe go for a 3:45 this time, and then you know next time you can pick it off. But I reckon if you put 1:30 or 1:31 into most running calculators, you're probably going to come out with something like 3:10, 3:15 or something. So that is obviously way quicker than your 3:45 goal. But like I said, you've got to do the training. So yeah, you've got both sides of the coin there, Cameron. Let us know what you choose.
Yeah, good stuff. And just a reminder, if you'd like to send in a question to feature in next week's episode, then you can do so via the Instagram, as most people did this week, or you can send us an email at runitthreewayspodcast@gmail.com. And you can also find the link to the email on the Instagram account as well. So yeah, up to you. If you want to send us a message, we'd love to hear from you, and we will feature a few of them in next week's show.
Awesome. Anything else from you, Ben, or are we wrapping it up?
I think we can wrap it up. Looking ahead at the week to come, what's the plan, Callum?
Same again for me, pretty much. Identical week as such. Maybe not a long run on the
Thursday.
Maybe not a Thursday long run, but I'll probably do a weekend long run, I would imagine. And just get some more sessions in.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, pretty much the same for me. Hopefully I can clear this calf up towards the start of the week and then get a good amount of training in. Probably about three weeks out now from Boston. So like you said, when we were going through my week, I don't want to risk it with some mega sessions this week and then not be able to run the marathon. So I'll just take it a little bit on the cautious side at the start of the week. If I get the green flag on tomorrow's run, then I'll continue training. But yeah, should be another good week. Hopefully we can get Tom on again for next week with a bit of an injury update. I spoke to him in the week when we did that on running shoot. And he said his leg was feeling a lot better. He's been doing some sessions on the bike, so hopefully he can get out running in the next couple of weeks. He seemed to think that things were moving in the right direction. And he's also got a scan booked in, so hopefully he can give us a bit of an update on that. But yeah, I think for episode 15, that pretty much wraps it up. Thanks for joining me, Callum, and I think we'll see you next week.
Yep, excellent podcast. Thanks a lot, Benny, and have a good one.
Yeah, all the best, mate. Speak to you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.